to Acts chapter 10.
We're talking about Jesus' love and how it breaks through the barriers for people who find themselves alienated from other peoples. So, the first four things to look for: alienated people, forms of worship that sometimes seem very, very important to people, and it divides them off from one another. And then the hope of the Messiah. All of our hope is in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, that he is going to sort things out. And our world is in such a mess that we really need Jesus Christ to sort things out. And not just the world, but in our own hearts and minds as well. And accepting Jesus is the key to all of this, to find a way to sort out things in our own lives. It has to be through Jesus. So we're going to be talking about this in three different contexts. The woman that Jesus met at the well in Samaria, and then Peter going to meet Cornelius, and he introduces Cornelius and all of his household to Jesus. And then I'd just like to talk about us and what we can do with the Ukrainian people who are far from their homes, and things are still going on in Ukraine which are just frightening, and they still have relatives back home, and we need to be in prayer for them and do something concrete to help them. In our passage that we read today, there was another alienated community from Jewish people, and that was the Romans. Well, the Romans kind of most of the time were felt like they were the conquerors, they could do anything they wanted, but here was a man, Cornelius, who loved people and he cared for them and he took care of the poor and he did good and he prayed to the Lord all the time. And Peter comes and he comes into the house of Cornelius, and what does he say to them? In chapter 10 of Acts, Peter said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile." Didn't say that in the law, but in the law of the customs and the traditions of that time, Jews were not allowed to associate with Gentiles. Well, sure, they could probably buy at their shops, but then they would go home and the real fussy ones would wash their hands in case they were contaminated. "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile." Where was Peter? He was inside Cornelius' house. "But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." Just like the woman at the well said, don't you find me impure or unclean? These were alienated people. So Peter said, "When I was sent for, I came without raising any objection." An alienated people from people who professed to worship God. And then he asked Cornelius, "Can I ask why you sent for me?" Well, we already know, because Luke's written it down ahead of time, that Cornelius had had a vision. And the angel told him to go find Peter and bring him back and listen to what he had to say. But the angel also told Cornelius, "God has heard your prayer." Isn't that great? When people who aren't Christians, when they pray to God for help, God's not turning a deaf ear to them. He hears. And for Cornelius, he sent him this message because Cornelius had not only been calling on God regularly, he had been doing good. Is that important? Yeah, it shows the heart that that person had. God didn't hear him because he was good, but he saw that he was really seeking him. Now, how is a Gentile supposed to hear about God? in those times. He couldn't go to the temple. The Samaritan woman couldn't go to the temple. They weren't allowed. And yet, Cornelius said, "We are all here now in the presence of the Lord. So tell us what God has commanded you to tell us." What Jesus said to the woman at the well, it's all about spirit and truth. God's looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's exactly what Cornelius said. We are all here now in his own home, in a Gentile house, in a Roman garrison town in Caesarea. We are now all here in the presence of God. Anywhere, here, today, we are in the presence of God. When Dave goes into the pig barn and he prays, he's in the presence of God. And he's not alone because God is with him. When Evelyn is in the Trillium, she is in the presence of God. When we're alone somewhere, and God calls us to pray, we feel that urge to pray, we are in the presence of God. And it's not about the form of worship. Maybe in 20 years from now, people won't be meeting in churches, they'll be meeting in houses again. Or they'll be meeting in a different place. Maybe they won't have pews. Maybe there won't be a piano or an organ in the room. Maybe they won't have PowerPoint. I don't know. I think a long time ago, people would never think that we would have a guitar in church to lead us in the music. Things change. The forms of worship don't matter. I don't see anybody here today wearing a tie of the men. Yay! I used to think that the reason why men don't live as long as women is because men slowly choke themselves to death wearing ties. God has given us new forms of worship. He caused the temple to be destroyed so that it would not be exclusive to Jewish people, but it would be in the heart. And then there's the hope that the Messiah will sort things out and that he's not sent to condemn people. Oh, man. We think about that. Oh, there's so much awful stuff going on around the world. On around the world. And even in our own country and in our own neighborhoods. And what happens? We tend to look down on people and condemn them for their behavior, which is wrong. But God doesn't condemn us, and he doesn't condemn anyone who comes to him. He gives them grace and mercy and forgiveness. So Peter says, "I now realize that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." There is no nation in the world that has people whom God does not want to come to him. Didn't he say, go out into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes, he has. And what was the outcome with Jesus and the woman at Samaria? Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Did she believe in the Messiah? Yes. And she believed that he was the one who would come and sort things out, including the mess within her. And that's what we believe, that God can clean up the mess that is us. Some people have more messes than other messes, but we are all sinners. And without Jesus' mercy and grace, we would go where we deserve to go, which is not with God. But then Jesus told her that he was the Messiah. And Peter told Cornelius and the household the message about Jesus. And he says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He's in a Roman household. His host is a centurion in the Roman army. There was such a thing called the Pax Romana, which was the peace of Rome, the peace that Rome brought to the world. They put down disorder, they fought against pirates and bandits, they made the roads safe. They felt that Rome had brought peace to the world. It wasn't exactly the peace that people were looking for in the different countries, but they did bring that peace. And now Cornelius is hearing from Peter that the message of good news is peace through, not Rome, but through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. Romans believed that Caesar is Lord, and they had a temple to Caesar. And every year they were supposed to go and offer a sacrifice or incense and say, Caesar is Lord. And when Christianity became very pervasive throughout the Roman Empire, it caused a lot of trouble because those people couldn't say Jesus. They couldn't say Caesar is Lord. They could only say Jesus is Lord. And the message was that Jesus lived and that he was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and power so that he went about doing good. See that message again? People doing good. Jesus was doing good and healing all under the power of the devil. Rome couldn't touch people who were bound by Satan. But Jesus could. He healed them. He ejected the devils from them, the demons from them. And they were healed in body and mind and spirit. Jesus went around doing good and healing all under the power of the devil because God was with him. And then what happened? We were with him, Peter said, and we know what the Jews did to him in Jerusalem. They crucified him. And who invented crucifixion? Or who were the worst ones for using crucifixion? It was Rome. And so here's Peter in this Roman's house saying, the good message that God has sent, that we have peace through Jesus Christ, they crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. That is the good news. He defeats the devil. He defeats death. He does good. He reverses the evil that is in our world. And God has told us, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the one who has been appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Well, that's a pretty hard thing to say to people. But it's true. Jesus is good. He offers salvation and peace. But if you reject him, he is going to be your judge. And then Peter quotes from the Old Testament, or at least he talks about all the prophets, how they testify about Jesus. Well, they didn't call him Jesus in the Old Testament. They did call him the Christ. That everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This one who will be the judge of the living and the dead, he is the one that we can receive forgiveness of sins through his name, through his authority. And you remember what John said in chapter 1. He said, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God. Jesus is the one that will sort out our lives. He will sort out our world, whether it's now or in the end when justice will come as they stand before him. Remember the woman? She ran off laughing. She even left her water. Well, I don't know if it says in the Bible that she left her water behind, but we know that's a dramatic interpretation. She ran off to the town, and I'm pretty sure it'd be hard to run carrying two big jugs of water on a yoke. And she was telling people, she was going there at noon to keep away from people, and now she's running to the people to tell them, I met a man who told me everything I've done. Wow, what a change from being by yourself to running towards people for the Messiah, to tell people about the Messiah. And if you read on in John chapter 4, you hear that many people in the town came to know Jesus too. And so they said to the woman, well, we don't believe just because you told us, now we've met Jesus too. And don't we want people to meet Jesus? Isn't that on your hearts? That people who don't know Jesus would come to know him? And why are we so afraid to tell people or feel so awkward? Because we don't want people to laugh at us or think he's lost his marbles. So what? Paul said, well, I know you probably think I've lost my marbles. He said that in Greek, so it was slightly different idiom. He said, we must be crazy. We're out of our minds to talk like this. But what's important is that people are introduced to Jesus. We have an opportunity in our neighborhood, or pretty close to our neighborhood, with people from Ukraine. I don't know if they're alienated from God or not, but they're certainly separated from their home and in comfort. And there's a barrier between us because of language, although I am learning, I'm on my fourth word, which is thank you. I don't have it down yet, but we were able to give them Bibles. And we can pray that they will be reading those Bibles. And there's kids, ones for parents to read to their kids. And there's even a kind of a, we would call it a comic book, I guess, or it's a graphic novel for teenagers of the story of Jesus, all in Ukrainian. Pray for them that they'll read that and they'll be introduced to Jesus. We're going to, I talk to invite them to come to our candlelight Christmas service. There's no preaching, but it's singing Christmas carols, and it's the reading of the Christmas story, and praying, and it's the fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ and the love that we have for one another because of him. If they're going to come, and we'll let us know, they'll let us know, some of us who have room in our cars, we'll go down and bring them here. So keep that in mind when you're coming. It would be wonderful if they would come and celebrate Christmas with us in this new country for them. So pray about it, please. And ask the Lord that he would give us this opportunity to present Jesus Christ to these people. Dear Father, thank you for your goodness to us that we have heard the good news of Jesus and have given our lives to you. Help us to be joyous like Cornelius and his family, and like that woman at the well. And we pray that you would sort out our messes, Lord. And thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.